I think a lot about audience, mm-hmm. particularly with Lousy Little Sixpence, for instance. When I knew that story back in early 1980s, there was nothing written about it. I mean, the word stolen generations didn't exist. I was probably the only white person out of three or four other white people who knew the story, apart from Aboriginal people who had lived through it. So there was a decision, would it be documentary or would it be drama? And I thought it had to be really straight about the story. I thought it was very important that Australia knew about it. So I thought a lot about, because I'd come from a drama background, I thought, well, I didn't like the dramas that were coming out about the past, Australia's past. I thought they were very romanticised at that time. And I wanted to have an Aboriginal person directly telling their story to the Australian audience, which was unheard of at that time. So if you go back in time, the decision to make the film as it was to do with the audience and how they would receive it.
So which particular audience were you aiming at? Were you aiming it at Indigenous people or sympathetic white Australians?
No, I was aiming at all Australians. In fact, I wanted to get it out to those places and particularly rural areas where white Australians, like myself, or suburbs, would not go and see a film about an Aboriginal subject. I mean, there was a specialised audience, and I was working hard in the way we programmed it at the Dendy Cinema. We tried to get young audiences, and we tried to get audiences who wouldn't go and see this. I don't want to preach to the converted kind of thing. I wanted to tell a human story, a story that was very moving. I mean, the heart of the story to me, the heart of the film is the people, the five people who tell their story in the film. I kind of felt my job was like a bit like a lawyer for the defence. I knew way back then, living between an Aboriginal world and a white world, that if an Aboriginal person talked about being taken away and their life, the bad treatment they received, a lot of my fellow whites would say, oh, you know, they're just lying. Mm-hmm. So it was very important for me to get the evidence, if you like, and that was the film evidence, to say, yes, it did happen, because I'm an historian and I love about history, but when I came to Australia in the late 70s, I couldn't read anything about Aboriginal Australia in the 20th century. I mean, a big silence existed. So hence, that's why the film is very straight and it's them telling their story. That was the design of it at that time.
You say the film is very straight and straightforward. Now, has the art of making a compelling documentary changed at all since the early 1980s when you made this film?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Look, the story is the heart of it. I mean, I kind of think of storytelling in service of. Lousy Little Sixpence success was massive at that time, mm-hmm. and it's still been used today. But once we'd filmed Margaret Tucker talking about her mother and being taken from her mother, mm-hmm. we were in tears. And you kind of know that we need to get the audience to receive that emotion. And if they don't get that emotion, you basically lost the game. But the new one we're doing is very much geared, again, to a younger audience. We want to get through to a younger audience. Therefore, it has much more visual approach to it and motion graphics, animation. But we want the story to come through. So, yeah, there's a lot of designing today that I, with Lousy Little Sixpence at that time, it actually took 8 months of editing with John Scott, who's a top editor, to get it as clear and as direct emotional experience to the audience at that time. I think I'm finding we're working a lot harder because now the word Indigenous kind of gets put in a box, right? So if you're trying to tell something about the past, about the box, Indigenous, you've got to work a lot harder to say you don't know the story, you don't know the context, and it's a human emotional experience. So you're always working on film's great strength is the emotions, unlike other kind of mediums, and that's what I'm always aiming for. So we're taking quite a different approach. I come from a design background, so I love doing and work with Murray Vanderveer, who's a very good motion graphic designer and whiz with Photoshop and stuff like that. So we're employing those more modern techniques.
Do you think that's because the audiences today are a bit more sophisticated or their attention spans are just shorter?
I think attention spans are shorter. I think, unfortunately, to say this, I 35 years later, I think I'd like to say that we were much more educated about the past. I think, unfortunately, we're not. as a kind of a lobotomy has gone on about the past. So in order to get something about the past, you've got to employ narrative devices, new styles for new audiences, really.
Fair enough. Now, looking back on Lousy Little Sixpence, is there anything you would have perhaps done differently?
Had more money. There's nothing I'd say I would have done differently. I think it hit the mark with audiences. It's, 35 years later, it's still being used. I went to places where people coming up and hugging me and saying, Aboriginal people particularly, and saying, thank you for making that film. But it's finances. And the same with this one, documentary always seems to get the kick in the butt the hardest when there's cuts to the arts. We're struggling with this one to get finances, even though I know it's probably as important as Lousy Little Sixpence. And there's not a context by which people can understand the past. I mean, yeah, we certainly, our government attacks the arts. And again, there's many parallels to 35 years ago. In fact, I think it's harder now. There is not that belief in making Australian films. There's a kind of dulling down about what Australia has to tell, and I think that's, unfortunate. It's not easy to make films. I use the Werner Herzog School of Filmmaking, which is always take the initiative, and if you have to spend a night in jail to get the shot, that's worth it,
And worry about the money later as well.
I just hope, like Lousy Little Sixpence, we made a lot of that in other films on unemployment benefits. I hope I don't have to do the same thing, 35 years later.
So around the sort of late 70s, early 80s, I was actually quite young then, mainstream media publicity surrounding Aboriginal people was quite negative at the time. I remember protests for land rights at the 1982 Commonwealth Games, and also very negative coverage of the Tent Embassy in Canberra.
Yeah.
Now, I imagine getting your film made, Lousy Little Sixpence, at the time might have been a bit difficult, given those perceptions.
Yeah.
Was there much sympathy to your project at the time?
No, it's, as I say, no one knew the story, so everybody was, scratching their head what on earth I was talking about. Mm. It's hard to imagine the word didn't exist. Mm. I mean, Peter Reed came out with the name Stolen Generations around that time, but he was doing a PhD and it was on a little pamphlet, So that was a kind of vacuum you lived in. And I can remember going to some of the people in the film who were themselves activists in the 1930s and 40s and saying, it's so hard out there getting this film made, and telling people. And Auntie Geraldine Briggs said, no, you know what we went through. So I kind of understood that there's a... this film I'm doing now, if there's one thing Australia should do is start to listen to Aboriginal people.